Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Back from the dead, contrary to reports in last week's podcast, I have not died. DJ Walsh here, back on the Snowcast. I can sit up now and I can have a pint. Last week, we had a spectacular episode. I listened to it as a fan. Owen, well done. Fucking loved it.
Thanks. I'm here tonight. I'm just after saturating myself. A pint of Jack Bauer's.
You have to say it in a Northern Irish accent.
Well, I won't for now, but I'm so drenched.
Jack Bauer, Parish Arthur.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, it was a good episode last week. Two brewers on, two of the boys from Waterford.
Bit weird listening back as a fan, like, you know, first time, and really enjoyed it. You did a great job, fucking fair play. Loved it, loved every second. Not even a bit sweet to cut out. And so we're here tonight, we're in Grady's Yard. We've had a fantastic evening, actually. We've just been this evening in our King Quality Food Stores, and we met Gráinne Walsh from Metal Man Brewing, who was promoting the release of their Tip Tango Super Session Pale Ale, 2.5%, really fruity, lovely pale ale. That's really there for the Super Session. And they were pouring that in our King Store today, and we're doing our second YouTube video that we do in our King Store, Snowcast Taste on YouTube. And if you haven't checked it out, check out the first one, check out the second one, that'll be out later on after this in the week after this podcast.
It's better than the first one.
It's definitely better than the first one. We had a mini audience and all today. Shout out to the lads that were trying to have a coffee while we were doing this, like, madness. And so we're there, we met Grace today from Metal Man, wonderful woman. Really enjoyed having a chat with her today. And we were there today, fucking, what a lovely Friday evening, right? Go there, have a few little sub beans and do a little video. Have a lovely chat with Julie from Arakeen, the lads from Arakeen, and Grace from Metal Man. And what do we do then? Go back to Owen's gaff. His beautiful fiance Kira cooked us a magnificent barbecue in preparation for our debut on the Snowcast. Went to Phil Grimes for a pint, and now we're here in Grady's Yard having a drink with Snowcast debutante, the brilliant, wonderful Kira Cooney. Kira, welcome to the Snowcast.
Hello. Didn't plan on coming on this, but sure enough, we'll give it a go.
Absolutely. Like, I'm laughing. Like, probably the reason Kira's on is because we had such a good chat over the barbecue. Me and Owen, like, secretly, given that she were like, we need to get her on the podcast to chat. Yeah, she has so...
enough glasses of wine.
Yeah. Are there enough?
You go getting around there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shy getting around. And so Kira's debuting on the Snowcast, and I fucking delighted to have her on, because listen, we actually, when we started this off, we had a fob off, like, recording session out here one day, messing with the trying it out and stuff, and Kira was brilliant on that. Like, we've said, like, we have to get her on at some stage, so delighted to have her join us tonight. And also joining us tonight, you might have noticed her laugh, because she's the only North American to appear in the Snugcast so far. Tonight, we are delighted to be joined, as usual, by the Queen of the Snug, Sonia Nirwan. Sonia, welcome back to the Snugcast. It's been probably four episodes, max, since you've been on.
Probably. I really love this nickname you've coined for me, the Queen of the Snugcast.
The Queen of the Snug, like, sorry, not just the podcast, but the Queen of all Snugs everywhere.
All
like, you just have assumed that mantle.
Love it. Thank you. Good so, great to be here.
Just quickly before we play on, Sonia, how'd you get on Ash's hen party? Quick one.
Can't really talk about it, but it was great.
Perfect. That's the perfect answer for hen party.
And well done.
I hope that's how my stag party report comes back.
You had some fabulous Instagram posts though.
There was.
They were the appropriate social media.
And shout out to Sonia's aunt's blog. What's it called? I put her on the spot.
I can't remember.
Something about Mary.
We share it on social media. Her blog is brilliant. She had a lovely point on Sonia to make there earlier on. So we're here in Grady's Yard, and obviously the first thing that we do in part of the Snugcast for the debutante Kira is what are you drinking tonight? So Kira, I'm going to come to you first and ask you, in Grady's Yard, lovely Friday evening, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm really not in keeping with the theme of the podcast. I'm not a big beer drinker, so I am drinking a glass of wine.
Absolutely.
But shout out to Grady's Yard, they're mainly a beer bar, but they do a really nice glass of wine. So.
And like the ones that they have on here, like they're like from a tap, so like they actually are a little in keeping with like
that's true.
The beer scene.
That is true.
They have I think they have like four wine taps and I don't know.
20 beer taps.
Yeah, 20 beer taps.
But they make us wine drinkers to feel like we're part of the scene, like, you know, we're
but they were saying though to us, like, when we first started coming here, like, we had a tour space, and they were saying to us about, like, the wine taps here, and now we know this is bullshit, like, but they were saying that, like, because they have them, like, not caked or whatever, like, I don't know, but the fact that they're coming from the tap, that they're it's valved off, like,
it does not oxidize.
It's not as if you like have an open bottle of wine all the time, so that like you know, it's like a different taste or whatever. Like it actually, like it's cutting off the air supply, so like it's meant to be vacuuming it and keeping it like
keeping it fresh
always. So I don't know. Yeah, maybe that does add to it as well. Like,
very nice wine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You haven't stopped drinking it anyway, so brilliant. And it's a Sauvignon Blanc you're on, is it?
Yeah.
So listen, I always say it, we're not a beer podcast. We're actually a pub podcast, just most people that come on drink beer. So like we're all about the wine, we're all about spirits, we're all about everything else. So you'll be on your own with them tonight, I guarantee. Fucking hell. My brother Mark, if he came on, he'd be on the Jaeger bombs alright. Sauvignon Blanc, and it's going down a treat. Perfect. So I'm going to stay going clockwise. Sonia, what are you drinking tonight?
So I'm kind of double fisting here. I've got...
Sorry, Sonia's family that listen.
Pretty sure I stopped listening ages ago because my potty mouth. But so I'm having one of Ash's infusions. It's probably one of my favorite ones to date. So it's kiwi, orange, and lime, and gin with tonic. It's so delicious. And then I'm having one of these. And don't make me say it.
The Jack Bauer, Owen's going to talk about the pint in more detail because you're on the same pint.
Yeah, the Jack Bauer shower.
Perfect. Owen will go into that in a little bit more detail. Coming around the table to myself now, I'm on, so basically, I had a bit of longing for something that I missed out on last week. But they don't have Super Soaker because it was so good, it's all out straight away. So I went back to Wicklow Wolf, back to the Bray Brewery. And I'm on the Wicklow Wolf Elevation Pale Ale, 4.8% Pale Ale, lovely, fruity, really hoppy, lovely little hop finish that makes you just want to keep drinking it. I could drink this stuff through a fucking straw. So it's 4.8%, so it's fairly sessionable. Like it's from an alcohol point of view, it's not too different from a macro lager, but it's just infused with so much more flavour. Delicious to drink, really enjoying the Wicklow Wolf Elevation Pale Ale. It's been on the Snugcast before, but it's a fucking classic from Wicklow Wolf, so you can't go wrong with it. So that's me, short and sweet. Owen Tab, co-host. Describe what Sonia was trying to describe, but she couldn't get the words out.
So I'm on Jack and Barrow's Barrow Shower Sour.
Hi, Declan.
And it is What are the sweets that you used to have in school that were like
sherbet dips?
You know those like kind of like really like they were so they were so plastic. They were so like unhealthy.
Chew it sours.
Yeah. So it's like it's basically like just eating a chew it like the whole packet.
Just drinking a chew it sour is liquidized.
Like, not even just one chew it sour. It's like having the whole packet at once. Like, it is, but it's delicious. And the whole the thing about chew it sours as well, right at the time, was that like you couldn't have one. Like you had to eat the whole pack. It was just like they were addictive. I think it just tasted more of each of each single pint of it.
They put a heap of money into advertising. They were all over the television when we were younger, like Nickelodeon.
I don't think we had then.
Did you not know? I like the chew it. I've seen Neve with them the odd time.
They're probably illegal.
Probably, yeah. The sour ones are definitely illegal anyway.
How many e-numbers are in them?
Did you love them?
Yeah.
Did you ever taste that?
Yeah, no, actually, like, as someone who is not a beer drinker, I would drink a pint of that.
Yeah.
So, A pint.
Honestly, these sours, literally the first time I had a sour was here, it was in Castaway.
Yeah.
And when I went home to Canada, my sister and my soon-to-be brother-in-law brought me on a massive pub tour, or pub crawl, and sours all the way literally have turned me on. Beer.
Brilliant.
So good.
That's absolutely fantastic. So here it's the start of May, guys. It was 19 degrees today at lunchtime, which is fantastic. 90 degrees at lunchtime was really warm and actually turned quite cold in the evening here in Ireland for overseas listeners.
And what's that in Fahrenheit for
actually
American listeners?
I could probably tell you what it is in Kelvin quicker than I can tell you what it is in Fahrenheit, to be honest.
You're really alienating your North American fan base there.
So it was really warm, lads. at lunchtime, but it actually cooled down a bit there later on. But the thing that myself and Owen were chatting about today in work was we're there during the day, we're sitting down and we're saying it's so warm, the summer lip was coming on us. Now we use the phrase the lip, right? And the lip is the desire you have to quench your thirst that only a crisp pint or a nice glass of wine or a nice infusion of gin and berries and all kinds of shit can quench. So what I want to ask you guys before we move on to the serious shit is, what is the difference in your mind between the summer lip and the rest of your lip? What is your seasonal lip game like? So Owen, I'll come to you first and let the girls have a little think about it.
So I think in terms of summer, right? So like as you were saying today, right, it was mildly warm.
Right? Yeah.
It was really
like
mildly
hoodie
warm.
Weather.
Yeah. It was a light jacket today, kind of weather, right?
It was roast.
But like whatever about the temperature, that like in Ireland that doesn't matter at all, right? But the sun was shining.
Yeah.
It was like
beaming.
It was like cloudy to cloudless, like it was that kind of like, you know, temperamentally cloudless, you know. And I think like for me, right, there was like bits of A, like today at lunchtime, like 1 p.m. today, right, I was like, please, this is so nice, like I'm hanging for a pint. Like it is like,
if it was pissing rain you wouldn't be hanging for a pint, would you?
No, but like I don't know, like
probably you probably would.
Yeah, I don't know, it just, like, I don't know, is it a thirst, or is it just, like, a happiness? And also, we were actually talking about this earlier on today as well, where we were saying that, just kind of, like, natural light in your environment, right? So, like, I have a friend of mine who works in one of these, like, shared office spaces, right? And he was, so he said, like, there's, like, kind of, like, a shared office space runs like the length of the place, but he has like a cubicle office on his own, so it's like three of these like hard walls and like a glass door behind him. Okay, but so he was like working there for like 2 or 3 months, and his boss was just like, oh, you know, how are you getting on or whatever, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, run. So guy was like, oh, do you not, like, it's a bit shit, like, no natural light in here, like, no? And your man was like, it was until light, like, it was fine until right now when you fucking pointed it out. Because, and ever since then, he's been like, it, like, it's so true.
Yeah.
Like yeah. You're, like, I don't know, circadian rhythm or whatever, like, it's just fucked up.
Dolphins, everything.
Everything, yeah, everything is just completely messed up. And, like, maybe that ties back into, like...
the somewhere later.
Like, this, like this kind of psychosomatic thing of, like, oh, like, it's good out equals drinking equals...
Yeah.
Like, I associate it with, like, tag rugby and, like, the fun we had with that and, like... It's all kind of like, it's kind of a linked thing, like, yeah. So...
You feel more, like, sociable. And,
exactly.
Like, you want to get out and do things in the evening, whereas, like, in the winter, well, apart from Christmas, but, like, in the winter, you know, you leave work, it's dark.
Yeah.
And we're likely to be like, let's go home and, like, put on the pyjamas and have tea.
Netflix.
And, like,
sit in,
yeah. You know.
It's laziness versus activity, I think, is the
yeah.
thing, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's definitely not easier to be active when it's nice weather.
Oh, yeah. You want to be outside, you want to enjoy the sun.
After
being a pub. You're feeling fire. Yeah,
like, well,
you
like linked
activity there.
Yeah, like, so you, so basically.
Action point, like.
Yeah. Or to walk to a pub.
The difference is, walk to the pub in May, taxi to the pub in October. Yeah. Kira, for you, like, is there any difference between your desire to, like, really quench a thirst for a drink in the summer versus the winter months or even spring and autumn? Or is the summer lip something that me and Owen have created in our own minds and it's just an excuse for us to go drinking?
I would never call it the summer lip, but I do think, like, it is a thing, yeah.
Well, like, even, like, say, do you know, like, drinking by the canals?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know, like, I think that's, like,
And I know last summer, like, when I was in Dublin, I would have met a group of people and, like, gone for a drink or two drinks or whatever, like, in the evening after work, and you're way more likely to do that, I think,
yeah.
in the summer, like, or...
I think, actually, especially in Dublin as well,
yeah,
like, there's an issue
Everyone
with...
goes mad when it's, like, once the sun comes out, it's, like, everyone goes mental.
People are more likely to make an effort as well, I think, you know,
yeah.
Shining.
But there's actually an issue with capacity in Dublin. So, like in the summer months, like, you're, like, maybe, like, guaranteed or, like, maybe have a chance of a seat in a pub because they have outdoor tables, outdoor seats, you know. Whereas, like, you know, if you're all, like, if it's raining, cold, whatever, and, like, you know, they only have the indoor capacity, then, like, you're not going to make it into...
Because it is overpopulated.
You're not going to make it into Pygmalion or something like that, like, you know, because, like, it's just so jammed or whatever, like, you know.
Yeah. Sonny, what do you make of it? Like, you've lived in Dublin, you've socialised in Dublin quite a lot more, like, you socialise in Dublin more than I do. What do you think the seasonal effect has on a person's desire and ability and merging of the two to just go for an evening pint?
Yeah, I think that, I think for me, when I think about it, it's boredom versus activity is how I see it. So, like, in the winter time and those winter months, and it's also, like, there is, like, a science to it as well. Like, there's something called seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, that very much, it very much plays into the fact that, you know, weather, darkness, really, really, that kind of, brightness in your life really does play up on your mood, and those kind of things are going to affect depression and anxiety and also those sorts of things. And I think in the winter time, it's when you're wanting to do things, first of all, the weather prevents you from doing any sort of activity at all. Like, some people are great about it, other people are just like, oh, rain, I'm not going to bother going outside.
Yeah.
People aren't, you know, as active. So what do? You go to the pub, you go sit inside. But I think out of pure necessity of wanting to do something, and because there isn't as much variety, you end up going to the pub because it's indoors, it's sociable, it's fun, you like to do it anyway. Versus when it's the summertime, you want to go out because, well, first of all, you have so many different options, so you're not so confined to one particular area. The sun, naturally, loads of endorphins, happiness, joy, want to be with your friends, it's bringing all those things out in me again. But I think the bottom line is, it's the choice. It's the choice that the weather and the sun and everything bring with the summertime.
Okay.
It's like, decide to do something, you want to meet your friends, you want to be active, you want to be in the sun, it brings out the endorphins, happiness. There's just...
Absolutely, but I think it's also, like, in Ireland, because we're not used to getting that good weather, and last summer, as we did, everyone's like, oh my god, this has just happened, we need to take full advantage of it. if you knew you were going to have like 4 months of the year that were going to be like that, you wouldn't be as extreme about it.
I think the social aspect is a huge thing, but I also think as well, the whole concept of day drinking and the summer lib and going for a pint to quench your thirst and stuff is much more social than the reason that you go for a drink in winter sometimes, like, but it could be a coping mechanism as well.
Yeah.
It's probably less likely to be a coping mechanism in the summer, and you're more than likely going to socialise in the summer.
It's the easiest choice from a social point of view in winter, I think.
Because
there isn't much choice.
Yeah, and the summer in Ireland, when it's good, is a fantastic place to be because it's so scenic and stuff like that. I think go for a drive and that, but as well, I think we're really lucky that we have some great summer options for drinks and stuff like that. And something that's really trending, like we did today with the YouTube videos, is those Super Session Pale Ales, like we did in the podcast last week. Now all of a sudden, the craft beer industry is responding and giving us these low percentage like drinks that we can drink in hot weather that'll quench your thirst. You can drink a couple of them. It's not going to affect you. It's not going to dehydrate you and stuff like that, which is fantastic. And no doubt the macro breweries are going to come along with their own versions next year.
But I think it's the thing as well. Like, I would associate summer drinking with doing something else. So like, in the winter, you go straight to the pub and have a drink.
Yeah.
But in the summer, it's like, will you guys play tag rugby? Or like, I'd be like, I'll meet the girls in Dunleary for a walk and then we'll go for a drink after. So it's kind of, you already feel more positive going into the pub to have your drink because you like...
I was working for a little bit.
It's an attachment, an activity in itself, rather than...
And even, you know, even we'll spend the next 10 weeks now playing tag rugby and there are people who go and they won't drink. But they'll have just as much fun as we'll have, and we'll go and have a couple of drinks, a couple of bottles, a couple of pints.
I was about to say that. It might play
better tag rugby.
Listen, all I'm going to say is, no one will have as much fun as me and Owen will have over the next 2 weeks. But the rest of the people, those drinking and those not drinking, will have as much fun as each other. No one will have as much fun as me and Owen. Oh, that's been a brilliant chat. Like, and we're going to move on to a little bit more musical themes right now. But before we do that, I've been on the ape of steroids because I haven't been here last week. So. And one of the side effects is need to piss every fucking 20 minutes. So thanks a million for staying with us. Here's a little jingle from our theme tune from Conor Dalton of Ghetto Amaretto. Look them up on Spotify, stream them on SoundCloud, whatever way you get your music. Brilliant band. Go to Ghetto Amaretto. Get involved with them. And enjoy and welcome back for some music chat in a couple of seconds. And we're back in the room, and before we get back into the nitty gritty, I just want to tell you guys about our Patreon account, Patreon page, not a Patreon account, which is bleak enough at the moment. Our Patreon page is www.patreon.com/snugcast. So we've got some brilliant ideas that we want to do and we want to implement. And thanks for laughing at me there, Kira, but we do have some brilliant ideas.
I haven't even supported them.
Great question, Sonia. This is not bad at all. So Patreon is where you can support the podcast and artists that you like. So if you listen to the Snowcast and you want to get involved, you want to help us, go to www.patreon.com/snowcast. And what you can do is you can donate like small amounts every month to the Snowcast. A pint a month, yeah. And basically what it'll do is it'll help us edit quicker, get more material out quicker, and do stuff. So we have some great ideas. We want to go to breweries and do little mini documentaries on the breweries that bring the beer to us and we bring to the podcast. We want to go to the pubs and do more, but the pubs and do more in the video sphere. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, you want to support it, go to patreon.com/snowcast and you can. And that's all I'm going to say about it. We're going to move quickly on. So, guys, right, I want to talk to you about music. Right, we've done a lot of food recently. We've done pop culture recently in two different separate podcasts that kind of worked out really well with Alan and our separate 90s one before that. But I want to talk to you guys about music, and the thing I want to talk to you about is an album. Right, so nowadays you go on a Spotify and there's a playlist, but it's like 15 different artists, 20 different songs, and there's a common theme in the songs, but there's no story. Right, remember back in the day you'd listen to an album and it'd tell a great story, but each song would tell its own story and the album would tell a different kind of story, and it would be a brilliant listen in an album as a whole, but you could listen to individual songs too. So give me an album that you think like really resonates with you from that team, like that you could listen from start to finish and it would tell you a beautiful story and you'd have no regrets from listening to it. So anything along those lines, take it where you want, there's no rules in Snowcast. Owen, I'm going to come to you first. Can talk about this earlier today.
Yeah, so like,
see how it prepared you.
Yeah, no, so I suppose, yeah, just to follow on from the point there, like the Spotify kind of nature of music listening now is, it's just how people listen.
It's a pick and mix of music.
Pick and mix, and like even like their like the feature playlists and stuff of Spotify now are like,
you're
a mix. Like,
it's a mix. Your recommendations for this week or this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god. So like I had so Spotify wasn't working in work for me for ages. So I had YouTube on. And I think YouTube's algorithm for like choosing songs is even worse because it literally just chooses the same song. I had like Goo Goo Dolls Iris like on great tune, right? But like literally, regardless of whatever song, so say like whatever song I chose on YouTube, like it could be like heavy metal, it could be like rock, it could be rap, it could be pop, it could be anything.
It'll go back to what you listen to.
It would go back, like as in, I'd say maybe the 8 or 9 songs would be Google Dolls Iris. It would just be like, and you know, here's songs that are related to. And like, I don't think I've ever chosen Goo Goo Dolls Iris. Like, I don't think I've ever typed that in, like, as like a song to listen to.
Yeah.
But like, somehow it just like reverted back to that. Like,
well, I think we're the last generation that has actually gone out and bought albums and sat down and listened to it.
When was the last time you went out and bought a CD? I couldn't even tell you. I had no idea.
I'd say 2005, 2006.
Yeah, I
didn't
have. I think 2006 was my like prime time for doing that.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
Or like asking for like an album for Christmas or for my birthday. Or...
Yeah, no, totally. And I think that's kind of links into like the statement that you said earlier on, that the age of 14 is from whatever.
Yeah. So apparently scientists...
So,
I didn't do this research.
That was your thesis.
According to my... It's just purely my personal opinion.
He's a fake pharmacist. Yeah.
So apparently 14 is when your music style is molded by 14. And then everything you choose after that is basically a projection of what you've molded by the time you're 14.
Okay.
And that's the research into it. I didn't do it. I'm just saying what people have said. So I think the point was like, right, so you're 14, you have your kind of style.
Yeah.
And then you're 16, you're more into it, so you're more intense about it, but it's a projection of the style you had when you were 14. That's what they say anyway. I'm not arguing for or against the science. What I'd say is when we were 14, 15, 16, all of us, it was in the mid-2000s. I know, you were 16 in the mid-2000s.
Yeah,
you were. You were an early bloomer, to be fair, so you were more advanced than your... from what I hear about. But basically, all I'm saying is, around that age, like, you know, that was when CDs were pretty much dying out, because MP3s were coming in, and our first iPad came in. The little mini iPod thing, iPods, yeah. Do you remember they came in first?
Yeah.
So CDs were dying out. So what I'm trying to say is like the whole culture of listening to an album cover to cover,
yeah,
is dying out. Whereas like we used to buy an album and you'd listen start to finish, and the album would tell a story, and you'd have songs you wouldn't like, but you'd the whole album was the feel as opposed to just the song.
The album was designed and supposed to be listened to that way, and even you, a lot of albums have like an interlude or like intro, which I don't know if albums still have that because I actually
it would serve no purpose
because again I actually don't really listen to full albums start to finish. There are very few artists that would do that, but so I don't actually know if
I don't
that's
think they serve a purpose. Like the filler is like say that 14 to 16 thing, right?
Yeah.
I went to see Kanye West in concert when I was 16. I was telling Owen and Kiro of the barbecue earlier. I went to see Kanye West and 50 Cent when I was 16 and live at the Marquee. Yeah, I know, imagine. And I remember like so that early like college dropout kind of stuff with Kanye West. And like half the tracks on that are basically adjoining him like muttering gibberish, or like an actor, Cedric the Entertainer, voicing over saying something. To basically joined the songs together so that it made sense, that it was all one story of him dropping out of college.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
same right. With Eminem, like Eminem had a lot of skits.
Yeah.
Well, not, you know, like,
skit, that's the word, skit.
Everybody had like a load of those, like it used to be like in brackets, like skit, like in between each thing. Like.
So on album, throw me one.
So for me, I suppose, like one of my favourite albums I've like ever had that I kind of listened to like constantly, I'm probably around that age of 16, was Colour and the Shape by the Foo Fighters.
No surprise to anyone that knows it.
And like that was just like I don't know, for me, like I think again I saw the Foo Fighters live in 2005, so like I think I've said this on an earlier podcast as well, whereby like I think I'm definitely shaped musically by the artists that you see live, like, you know, so like I know where I'm listening to live, but like definitely the artists that I've seen live have definitely become my favourite artists thereafter.
But I think particularly the artists that you see live as your first artists, so say for me, I can think like 2005, 2006 was when I started going to gigs, and like one of the first gigs that I went to was Muse in 2006, and like that album, the Black Holes and Revelations album, even though it's not like the best Muse album, it's still like the one that I go to.
It's the one that you resonate to.
Yeah, because it's like, it's like nearly a time capsule of like being 16. Yeah. Like I can throw on any of those songs and be like,
it brings you to a point in time where you were happy and that music actually genuinely meant something significant.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Like that was probably the age I really got into music. Like, I know what you're saying, like you're probably starting when you're a little bit younger, but like I would say, yeah, definitely when I was 16, I started establishing who I was. And even still, like I would go back and listen to Muse or The Killers or like Foo Fighters, who I was into then, I'm still into like.
I think as well, I was like musically, like I couldn't play an instrument, right? But I was definitely influenced by my friends, like, you know. So, like in terms of like, say my friends at that time were like learning to like play like different instruments, like, you know, guitar. Like a friend playing drums and stuff like that. So like at that time, like they were very heavily influenced by music, and I think as well, like I was like quite influenced by like what they were
kind of
like
osmosis. You were just taking it in.
But yeah, and like I think as well, like, you know, I mean, maybe like some of the songs that they were learning and stuff at the time as well, that like, you know, as in, I think that again, like that like influenced me a lot.
But
like,
it's that age as well where like you're wanting to be influenced and you are influenced.
Oh yeah,
like,
but I think you need to be influenced.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely.
I mean, I know everyone is influenced by their friends, but I was really influenced by one of my friends. Shout out Jay Lomani. He's definitely not listening. Like back in the days of when you'd have that stack of blank CDs that you'd like copy CDs onto,
he was the guy.
Like he had a massive music collection, and everything he bought, he like make me a copy. Like whether it was like Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, like Muse, Franz Ferdinand, whoever it was.
He was my music guy.
So like I was so influenced by him, but he had such like a good and varied like taste to music that it was like a great influence. Just influenced me. It's fine.
Well, it's actually
burning
funny.
CDs. Oh my god.
I know.
Remember Napster? Did you guys have Napster here?
Oh yeah, we did. We had LimeWire.
LimeWire. God, Napster. I used to spend hours. I used to come home from school and sit at my computer. Hours.
Oh, yeah. Down, like, spend about 45 minutes an hour to download one song.
Yeah, like dial-up internet, we'd be like, dial-up. You know, and mom would be like, I need to use the phone. And like, I have like 90% of the phone.
Just give me another 5 minutes, please.
Give me another hour.
Stone ages.
So funny.
Oh,
but as well, right? So for me as well, a lot of things, like a lot of music when I would say, 10, 11, 12, right? So I was like quite into wrestling at that time, like, so it's like WWE, WWF and stuff, right? So like at that time as well, Like, so one of the wrestlers was The Undertaker, right?
Oh, I love
and
that.
He had Limp Bizkit as his like as the entrance music for his thing, right? So like I think as well, when you're like 11, 12, whatever, like you don't know about music like really. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so like for me at that time as well, like a lot of like the music around then was like kind of centered around like what I was interested in, like, you know. As in, like, if someone put up the Pokemon theme tune, I would be like, oh my god, that's my favorite song. Like, you know, fucking like Limp Bizkit, like we were listening to
it. Oh, we put it on earlier.
Like, scrolling, right? Yeah. And I nearly had like the whole lyrics, like, oh, like still. Oh. Like, whatever.
The two of us were just like, we're gone. And
like, you're talking like 17, 18 years later, and like, you still nearly have like all the lyrics, like, just off to a T. Like, you know?
Completely associated with a brilliant time in your life. Like, it's just like, those Limp Bizkit songs, like, even my generation came on, and I was like, I forgot this was a song, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, I know the whole words, like, and you're just like, how is this even possible?
I know, it's insane. But anyway, right, sorry, we've completely diverted from my pick, right, which was Colour in the Shade, right? So it has just like my favourite songs, like, Everlong is an absolute tune.
It's brilliant.
Like, right? But it also has like My Hero and it has Monkey Wrench, right, which are just completely conflicting songs. Like, Monkey Wrench at the end has this kind of like metal shouty, like really kind of screamy bit at the end, which is like just completely different to like Everlong, which is like very light, like, you know, quite a Billy Uppy song, and like they're just very kind of like soft rock kind of thing, right? And then like My Hero again is quite like soft rocky as well, like, you know. But there's one transition in that album that you're kind of saying about that story. So there's a song called Hey Johnny Park, which is like only about like 1 to 2 minutes long. It has like one of my favorite like guitarists, probably my favorite guitarist ever in it. Like, but like that song like kind of finishes off, right? And the end of the song just again, it's like this kind of choice thing, where like the end of the song, like the outro of Hey Johnny Park leads in to the next song, which is My Poor Brain. So like the outro is the same as
the intro,
of the next song.
I love it when that happens
and
in an
like,
album.
It's just like, it's just such a good like transition between the two, and like
it's a great, it's really well produced when that happens.
Yeah.
But I think as well, like, so you're talking about an album that there are so many songs, there's 3 or 4 songs that album I can strongly identify with.
Yeah.
But I've never listened to it start to finish. So that album, while I like you say it and I'm like, geez, that's a really good album. But like, I'm saying it's a really good album knowing 3 or 4 songs and like, they're really good. Whereas to you, it's like a complete fucking story.
Yeah.
And it's completely defined your musical taste for an era. Do you know what I mean? And that's the beauty in variety, and that's the beauty in it. Have you answered, Sonia?
No,
it's still on me.
Oh, that's grand, because Kira answered it to me. Muse.
I kind of interjected there.
Yeah.
You're kind of half mused.
I said, this is definitely was one of my main albums.
Sorry, this terrible podcasting. I went up to the bar to get last round. And like, so
I can think of a few albums that I feel strongly about.
That was my problem. I have like 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely like The Killers, Hospital, Snow Patrol, Final Straw. Like, they're all albums I want to listen to start to finish. And, like, I think it's not even that.
It's hard to pick one out.
Yeah, it is really hard. And actually, like, okay, really randomly, one is popping into my head now that my music teacher got us into in maybe like 4th or 5th year in school, which probably no one knows. Probably not a good podcast topic at all, but it's an Irish like contemporary duo called Rua.
I actually had them on yesterday. I had them on, so we're recording on Friday. I had them on yesterday and worked Thursday.
No way.
I played 2 songs and then moved on. But
like, they're unreal. But I remember my music teacher in school was friends with one of them, and
she was like recommending the album at the time, and I got the album. I feel like she ruined it for us legally. And
just don't name the teacher on my grounds.
I don't remember buying it, but and it, like, at the time I loved that album, and it really got me into like a completely different style of music, because I would have been into like that Muse, The Killers, Stone Throw, all those kind of mainstream
rock.
And I also would have been into musicals, like that was around the time when I was getting into that side of it, and then this was like an Irish contemporary duo.
It's like folk pop, like
totally different style, but brilliant. Definitely that was like a whole other influence. And I don't even know whether that, I think that was an album that was, they did like an album, I think it was called Whisper. Probably like totally incorrect here, but
It was no one's going to challenge in the facts. I guarantee you that.
Ripped apart on social media.
Our big listeners.
Never get her on again.
I think that was another album. It wasn't necessarily designed in the sense of the story, but it was designed in the sense of, like, you start off and you build up and you come back down and you build up again.
That's brilliant.
You know, I love that. Yeah. Great album. If anyone's...
That's what I love about, like, say, asking these questions to people. Like, do you know, so you go to a pub and you chat to people that you know really well, but you end up coming to a common ground. So, like, I listened to you yesterday, and that just popped into your head randomly.
Yeah, that's very random.
There's 15 years between it, like, do you know, and it's just brilliant. This like just random to and fro. Sonia, right? You said you have 5 answers.
We don't have all night now. Oh, brilliant. Because I just think that, like, it changed, like, decade to decade. Like, I couldn't, there are so many albums that I consistently, probably like 4 or 5 main albums, listen to from my kind of beginning of my musication, as I call it.
Give me the earliest one.
So my favorite TLC, Crazy, Sexy, Cool.
Oh, look, listen.
I mean,
like, you're not going to get any arguments at this table,
so
I think.
So good. It was the very first CD I ever bought. They're my favorite
what
band. Was that like 95, 96?
94,
like,
95.
95, yeah.
Waterfall and No Scrub was on. Now that's what I call music, 95. So it would have been 94.
What, like,
I'd say
9 or 10? And did, like, Creep. Like, could you have, or even Red Light District? Like, the most sexual song in the world. Like, I remember stealing into the kitchen once. Like, my mom actually told me the story, and I was like, give me the red light treatment. And my mom was like, what the fuck are you singing? Like, total, like, striptease, baby making music. But yeah, absolutely loved it. So brilliant. And then, so one of the other big albums wasn't like a, it was probably a soundtrack, really. Cruel Intentions.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Like, that is like the soundtrack to my teenage years.
The
Verve
Bittersweet Symphony. Yes. Like, you can apply it to
Colorblind.
Anything.
Colorblind is like one of the best songs in the whole world. And then, like, Fleetwood Mac, Rumours.
Oh, I'm there, Fleetwood Mac,
Biggie,
all day.
Ready to Die.
So you've just listed three albums in a soundtrack. That couldn't be more diverse.
Exactly, yeah.
But that's the beauty of it. Like.
Those would be my top 4.
Okay,
sure.
You mentioned like TLC as one of your first albums. Yeah. What was your guys, like, what was your first album?
I think for me, On Tape.
Yeah, cassette.
Tape.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, God, really old.
Oh, yeah, but we're Ireland, like, we're 10 years behind you. Like, we didn't see these until about 2002. Like.
Cassette. Wow. It's a vintage.
I can't think of my first album. I can think of my first single, which was Bewitched, Say the Queen.
Oh!
That was also my first single.
No way!
My first album was Oasis, What's the Story, Morning Glory. My dad bought it for me because he didn't want me to have a shit taste of music. I have the hiccups as well, sorry.
Oh my God. I think my first album could have been one of the Dustin Turkeys, like those comedic Christmas albums.
Yeah, started your like eclectic taste of music then.
I started on the comedy route then.
I think mine was Steps.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think we made it to Canada.
Tragedy
was Steps.
No, that was
Club 7. I was getting them mixed up.
Oh, well, it was 5, 6. 5, 6, 7, 8.
My boots skin, baby.
Yeah, that's the high part.
Jordan dance machines in arcades.
Yes, that's like a classic dance.
14, 15 dance machine dash.
Yeah.
So that was like the intro, and then when once you could do end of the century on expert level on those dance machines, then you were a legend.
Yeah.
I probably still have the high score in end of the century. No, that was brilliant. For me, like album wise, I think. I get like Sonny makes a brilliant point. It's all about like transition through ages and stuff like that. Like, and I like it's a incredibly difficult question to pick out one album. Like, you can't pick out like and I know you definitively have like that Foo Fighters album as an influence in you, but like so many people.
You have to listen to anything since.
Yeah, probably not.
That's my favorite.
Well, he's a big fan of the Beastie Boys as well. Like, he does. Yeah, I think like for me, you're probably talking about like. Right. In terms of like, I got Oasis early on, What Story Morning Glory and Be Here Now and stuff like that. Like, so Oasis were a heavy influence on me early because my dad loved them. So like, it was like dad's influence, and that's brilliant. And I listened to those albums back to front, but I can remember distinctly about like, think about What's the Story Morning Glory for me. And I know Gary Illison is probably listening to this and he's gonna fucking slay me for this, but like, even as a 6 year old, the good songs I'd rewind and listen back to, but the fucking shit songs I just had no time for. And I think in my early days, like, probably coming into early teens, I'm not going to lie, like U2, I hate him now for some reason, but, like, when I was 10, 11, 12, and around the time, like, we were talking about this earlier, like, All That You Can Leave Behind came out in around 2002, so, like, Elevation, Beautiful Day and stuff, so they became really popular in Ireland again. But it got me back into the Joshua Tree. The Joshua Tree, as an album, is a fucking fantastic journey to listen to. Let's call it spade a spade. Like, Bono's a dick now. Like, there's no two ways about it. But
do you know, people outside of Ireland find it absolutely unbelievable. I shouldn't say it, it's such a general statement. But a lot of people I talk to in my neck of the world are kind of so bad. They find it absolutely unbelievable that Ireland, again,
doesn't worship Bono.
Yes. That U2 is. A lot of people really, really don't like
YouTube
or
want
to hear.
So this
I get
is the thing.
Why everywhere else is just
I
like,
get why people do, and God, I get why there's some great songs and musically they're great songs, but they just don't compare to some other albums. I feel
absolutely
like they've just
gotten worse. Okay, so this, and I think you've hit the nail on the head.
I
think the Joshua Tree is an album that, like, start to finish is brilliant.
Yeah.
But they've had so many albums, and they've had maximum 2-3 songs, really good songs out of each other. So, like, there's so many letdowns for songs there. But then I think they did redeem themselves an awful lot with All That You Can Leave Behind. Like, Wild Honey, a non-release song, is a brilliant, brilliant song. And it really ties in well with where it is in the album. So I really got into that when I was younger. And then, like, I got into, like, so Juniper and then Damien Rice split from them, and it became Bell X1 and Damien Rice. And Damien Rice always a really emotional, evocative, really good album. And then Bell X1 went off and they did, like, their series of albums, each of which I love equally, but they're so different. So for me, it's really hard to tie. But even though I don't like U2, I probably still go back to All That You Can Leave Behind, because it was probably my first introduction to an album as a whole, and listening to it all and loving songs that I wasn't hearing on the radio. So I don't know, and it's probably a shit answer, but who gives a fuck? I actually really enjoyed that chat, and I contributed so little to it. That's a good sign of a good podcast.
I actually just want to add a small bit to it, right? So Kira, right?
Yeah.
You like, so we were talking initially at the start about like an album, like talking like a story, like with regard, like,
don't bring up ABBA.
I will not bring up ABBA, right? But like, probably the like quintessential like album, or like like, I suppose album or soundtrack is probably the, like, probably the better part. But like, for like a musical,
we could do a whole podcast episode on musicals.
It's like, because as you
said, yeah, no, absolutely.
Because like, as you said, with like, say, Les Mis, as in without even like, because Les Mis, there is no spoken word in Les Mis that is not sung.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The whole of Les Mis is sung.
Like, it is so, essentially, like, a story in song. Yeah.
So if you listen to the soundtrack, like, you could like potentially, like, if you're that imaginative, and like actually listening to the lyrics, like, you can you could actually like depict, yeah, depict what the story of the whole soundtrack is like.
So
and like I've actually like I've done that. So say like I think my introduction to musicals was Grease, which I think is probably an introduction to musicals for a lot of people.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like very mainstream.
100%.
Christmas.
I loved it. Like, I got the album for Christmas. Probably when I was big, like 13, 12 or 13, maybe.
And the hits are so catchy that
oh,
they stay with
so
you.
Like,
no matter what.
That album all the way through. But then, they made it when we did that age, 2006. I got so into that soundtrack. And there was a time when I was driving, like, not really commuting, but kind of commuting from work to Waterford for a while. I used to listen, like basically the Les Mis album, for anyone out there who's commuting Cork to Waterford, the Les Mis album gets you from Cork to Waterford in its entirety. And,
that's
exactly.
A wonderful.
Exactly, yeah.
You act, like pretty much exactly. And I used to listen to it, and it was like, for me, it was like watching that entire show.
That's the most.
Start to finish.
Yeah, like, that's the most useful piece of information
it.
That's ever got out of this podcast.
Oh my god, my favorite Les Mis song, that is such a difficult question. Stop. I've been asked this so many times.
Have you? It's my favorite musical ever.
It is my favorite musical. I could probably, like, I would listen to that soundtrack, like, from start to finish, because I would not say for a lot of musicals, I would skip over a lot of Act 2. Act 2 tends to be your good action musical, because
yeah.
There's a lot of, like, you know, downer songs. But Les Mis does not have that. Oh, I don't know.
On my own.
So many good songs. If I had to pick one song though, I'd probably pick One Day More.
Oh,
yeah. I love the build up.
Kind of
the build up is
yeah.
So
yeah.
Good.
I could pick like so many musical
titles. I reckon you guys should pick this up on a special snowcast called the Snow Gals, where like all the girls, like the girls get together, fight, get rid of the fucking men, sit around, have a few drinks. Thanks a million. Sit around, have a few drinks, have a chat. Fucking brilliant, because what we were going to finish up on was a quick little like musicals impression of musicals, because Kira, we know you're big into musicals. You're a big member of the NAIS Musical Society. We're going
shout
to
out.
Yeah
this
shout out
March 2020.
So this is exactly what we were going to do, because literally Kira, yeah, Kira as a member of the NAIS Musical Society found out tonight just before I started recording that they're going to perform Sister Act in March.
Yay.
So we really want to give a shout out to the NAIS Musical Society. And Ms. Epifani have both decided before we came on here. We're gonna go up and we're gonna have a look at Sister Act without a shadow of a doubt. And hopefully have a few pints of well. Actually there's some really good like pubs around there and stuff, so we can't.
Very good pub time.
Yeah.
A lot of
and I was not cast out of NAIS after the musical, I reckon is what to do. So quickly, like, and I'm not into musicals because it's not my thing, but 100% I give an opinion. So, like, Owen, your favourite musical?
Probably is Les Mis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably is Les Mis.
That's because you love Kira. Kira, yours
it's,
is.
It's also because I performed it. I was guard number one.
Excuse me. Guard number one.
I was guard number one.
Scratch.
Scratch.
Oh, you definitely want to see. He's probably just scratching his bollocks in the background. So, Kerry, give us the line.
Tell his reverence your story. Let us see if he's impressed you. Lodging there last night, you were
the honest. You're actually infringing on Leslie's line.
Yeah, that's more than one line. Like. What a lying bastard.
So
I wouldn't have you guard anyone. So, Kerry, your Les Mis.
Brilliant. I had to go from Les Mis.
The Greatest Showman? Is that a musical?
Oh, I do love The Greatest Showman. Like, in terms of musicals, films, I think The Greatest Showman is a great modern musical. Because I think a lot, like, do you know, we have La La Land and stuff. Like, I enjoyed it, but it's not fantastic. I also love Wicked.
I've seen Wicked
three times, and I do. Happily find that's my favorite. You will happily go any time.
Chicago, okay.
Show.
So, yeah, but you love musical. So,
I just love musicals.
Yeah.
Musical.
Like, all of them is the correct answer. Like, you can answer all of them. Sonia, favorite musical?
Oh, it's Les Mis, without a doubt. No, it has been.
I'm going to throw a curveball in here. I actually really enjoyed Hairspray when I would see it.
It's good.
And I actually think the positive message it sends out about body image and stuff is fantastic in a modern society where you have so many people on Instagram with like a size 6 figure in Ireland or a size 0 in the States or whatever it is, and they're just unrealistic. And I just think Hairspray is a brilliant acceptance musical. And that's very deep coming from me because I'm not into musicals.
Would you like a fun fact?
Yeah. I love fun facts, so you throw them at me all day.
When one of my self-known first dates was to see Hairspray in the cinema.
You're kidding.
Yeah. I may have picked it.
And she got the ring on her finger, so there you go. Listen, guys, this has been one of my favourite snowcasts because Sonia pointed out to us actually when between the recording. Like, so you were on with Emer and the 12 Snogs, but we usually don't have two women on the Snowcast, and we're all about diversity and we don't want this to turn into boys club. So it's brilliant to have two women, two men on the Snowcast, and two brilliant women who are so articulate and fucking brilliant to put their points across, as opposed to usually gobshites to get on. So I've really enjoyed the Snowcast, and actually we started recording quite late, it's really good. Thanks a million for tuning in. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @Snowcast, or @Snowcast on all of them. patreon.com/Snowcast. Thanks a million for tuning in. Parting words for the listener, Owen Tab.
Good luck. Bye.
Shop local, buy local, be conscious. Love you all.
3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.